Philo Torah Zoom Shiur for Yom Rivi'i, Wednesday, the first day of Menachem Av, which it's really called the first day of Av. I'll mention that in a moment. Also corresponding to July 15th. Let's do Tehillim and then we'll talk. Poof. How about you, Mark? Take it.
Mizmor l'sodah, hariu l'Adonai kol ha'aretz, ibu et Adonai b'simcha, ba'u l'fanav bir nana, yiru ki Adonai hu Elohim, hu asanu, v'lo anachnu amo, v'tol mar iso, ba'u shehara b'sodah, fasi l'sa b'isila, hudu lo balechu shemo, ki tov Adonai, le'olam chasdo, v'adro v'ador munaso.
As I've said a few times, the fact that we include a thank you to HaKadosh Baruch Hu for things that happen and requests for help cover us in the situations that we're not sure whether it's good or not. You know, peace talks with Iran, the United States with its interests, and people said, okay, sounds like a good thing, but maybe it's not good for Israel. And then on the other side of the coin, Trump gets up and says the ceasefire is dead and he takes over the straits again. And Iran is sending missiles to its neighbors. I don't want to spook anything here, but it's incredible that when Iran got angry at the United States, instead of sending missiles to Israel, it sends missiles to the United States' presence in Kuwait, in Saudi Arabia, in wherever else. And it's just crazy. So the thing is that good for us? I don't know. And I feel like we cover it with Tehillim Kuf. Thank you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, if it's good. And if it's not good, include it in the following. Lamenatzeach mizmor leDavid yancha Adonai biyom tzara yisagev Hashem Elohei Yaakov yishlach ezrecha mikodesh umitzion yisadeka yizkor kol minchotecha v'yolatecha yidashne sela yiten lecha chilvavecha v'chol atzatcha yimalei Niranana b'shua techo v'shem Eloheinu nidgol yamale Adonai kol mishalotecha ato yadati ki hoshia Adonai mishicho yanehu mishmei kodsho b'gvurot yesha yimino elev orechev v'elev asusim v'anachnu b'shem Adonai Eloheinu nazkir hema koru v'nafalu v'anachnu kamnu v'nitodad Adonai Hoshia, HaMelech Yaneinu, Yom Koreinu, David, Kuf Kaf Aleph, 121. Well, you'll have to start again so we could hear it also.
Shir Lamala Esoina Yala Hari Meyain Yabo Esri Esri Me Madanaya Say Shemaim Va'aretz Al yitain lamotrag lecha, ayanum shomrecha, hine lo yanum v'lo yishan shomer Yisrael. Adonai shomrecha, Adonai tzilcha, ayad yiminecha, yomam hashemesh lo yakekav, yareach v'aloyla. Adonai yishmorecha mikora, yishmor es nafshecha, Adonai yishmor tzeis v'avoecha, me'atza v'yad olam.
Mark.
Yadber sona enu tatehem, vi aterim behesa Yeshua uva teresin tahon, vi kuyam behem hakasub, ki adonai alohechem, ha lech imachem, ilachem, lachem, imoyevechem, laoshia eschem, vinomar, amen.
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 Together, Achenu kol Beit Yisrael hanu batzara u'mashivya, ba'omedim bein bayam bein bayabasha uvein ba'avir hamakom yirachem aleihem ve'otziyem mitzara liyirvacha u'meafela la'ora u'mishibud l'geula hashta ba'gala uvizman kariv v'nomar amen. Okay, welcome everybody, including Marcia's bookcase. I want to keep something in mind as if you write it on a piece of paper and paste it at the top of your screen, because to me, it's a guiding force in how I approach the 3 weeks, the 9 days, Shavuot Shechalbo, and Tisha B'Av. The Gemara in Talmud Yerushalmi has two versions here. Kol dor shelo nivne Beit HaMikdash b'yamav, any generation in whose time the Beit HaMikdash is not rebuilt, ki'ilu nechrav b'yamav. It was as if it was destroyed in that generation. In other words, none of us have the right to say, well, if the Beit HaMikdash were here, and we would listen to Yeshayahu HaNavi, and we would listen to Yirmiyahu, and we would change our ways for the better, and it wouldn't happen. If that would be the case, the Beit HaMikdash would be built. Similarly, kol dor she'eino nivneh biyomav, any generation where it, who or it is not built in its day, ma'alin alav ki'ilu hu hechrivo. It's a little bit more personal. It's as if you destroyed it. The Talmud Bavli in Masechet Ta'anit quotes the pasuk in Yeshayahu, Simchu et Yerushalayim v'giluva kol ohaveha, rejoice, Jerusalem, and be happy, all who love her. Sisu ita masos kol hamit'abalim oleha, rejoice, all of those who mourn Jerusalem. Gemara continues, that's the pasuk. Mikan Amru, from here it is said, Kol hamit'abel al Yerushalayim zocheh v'roeh b'simchata. All who mourn for Jerusalem will merit and see its joy. V'she'eino mit'abel al Yerushalayim, and anyone who doesn't mourn Jerusalem, eino roeh b'simchata, does not see or will not see its joy. Now, I personally use this, and a lot of what I'm going to say now, some of it is halacha, some of it is minhag, some of it is subject to machloket, and some of it is very personal. When I, let's say, look up the topic of listening to recorded music, once upon a time tapes, and once upon a shorter time CDs, and now, whatever, still music is music. And I see that there is a dispute, a debate among modern poskim. No, that's okay because it's in the privacy of your own home or your own headphones, that I say for Naomi. And it's not in public, and there's a concept of simcha bereut with lots of people joining them. So that's one opinion. And the other opinion is, no, you shouldn't listen to recorded music either. Now, I have a choice. I could follow that opinion or that opinion. My gut tells me that I can handle not listening to full instrumental music the whole 3 weeks. I got a call once from a guy, friend of my brother's, who I met once when I was in Bnei Brak, and was a fellow who lived alone, a very high strung, probably had other problems as well, And he called me to say if he can't listen to music, he goes crazy. He breaks down. I said, stop, put on music. There's no doubt that that halacha, minhag, suggestion, whatever you want to call it, was not meant for that individual. It was meant for normal people who like to listen to music and could give it up for 3 weeks or at least the 9 days or whatever. Then you have the thing with vocally, as they say in Hebrew. Someone once actually translated vocally for me to explain it to me because he thought I wouldn't know what the word was. So you have albums, or you had albums, that say on them, you could listen to this during Sfirat HaOmer and the 3 weeks. And it's voice only, but I found that there are two kinds. I have a large collection of CDs. I am very much in the beginning of trying to get rid of some of them. And I found that there are two kinds of vocali music acceptable, whoever paskin that, for Sfirat HaOmer and the 3 weeks. And one of very, very joyous songs, just without musical instruments. And the choirs that sing them make them so pleasurable that I hardly can see why there should be a difference between instrumental background, a backup, or vocal. And then there are others that are very serious and somber. One was a live broadcast of a kumsitz that was held, and all the songs very moody, soulful, perfect for the 3 weeks. So if I had a choice, I would not listen to the first kind, I would listen to the second. This is not a psak, this is not any kind of thing other than going back to what I said, I want to be among the people who mourn the destruction of Yerushalayim because I really, really want to be among the people who will merit and be zocheh and see its joy.
Phil, just a quick question. For people who are in awe, certainly for the parents, don't listen to music. Most people don't, instrumental or otherwise. So does this come on a par?
Okay.
Seeing as we're mourning the Beis
When you
HaMikdash.
ask that kind of question, you have to be careful because there are many, many parallels between personal Avelut and national Avelut. And then there are some very jarring, almost parallels, but they're not. And you can't just say, well, because in Avelut this and like that. So, cutting hair and shaving during the 3 weeks matches the standard practice during Shloshim. The music, maybe it could match the whole year for a parent, Yud Bet Chodesh. But then there are other things like no meat and wine during the 9 days, weekdays, except for Shabbos. Doesn't match Avelut of even Shiva. Avelim in Shiva could eat meat. It's just at the Seudah that they have right when they sit down for Shiva on the same day as the burial. They don't have meat. Otherwise, they do. So I'm just cautioning, just to make sure that we don't get one from the other automatically, but we have to ask each one. Sitting on a low bench or on the ground is a Tisha B'Av thing. It's a Shiva thing. Tisha B'Av, on the other hand, midday after Chatzot, on Tisha B'Av day, you could already sit on regular chairs, and there's no reason to be machmir and sit on the ground after Chatzot, because that was the guidelines of Chazal. On that note, let me just say in general, Chazal, first of all, there is a difference between feeling sad grieving, and mourning. Mourning, I'm talking about in a halachic context. And I've quoted for you before in the past a Mishnah which sort of says it. The Mishnah is talking about a person in the time of Sanhedrin who was executed for a capital crime. His family does not mourn him, but they may cry. So I scratched my head and looked in the Mefarshim and tried to find, what does that mean? So the answer is that because he was executed for capital crime by Sanhedrin, the halacha of mourning doesn't apply to him. But the halacha was never going to say the personal psychological feelings, emotional feelings that a person has, don't cry. And there are people, especially among Balei Tshuva, I've been, personally involved with, who feel that they need not to express their natural emotions if they feel it conflicts with the halacha of whatever aspect of mourning or not mourning. A person can feel sad, and halacha does not tell you not to feel sad. It does say that if you're sitting Shiva on Shabbat, no outward visible signs of mourning, but Torah learning on Shabbat in Shiva, personal mourning, is forbidden, except for certain topics, including Shabbat. Marital relations are forbidden on Shabbat because those are not public displays of mourning, and therefore they have to be kept. So you don't wear the garment that you tore, and you don't wear sneakers, you put on regular shoes, and you don't stay in the house, you go to shul. Those are public displays, and so on and so forth. But back on track here. So what I'm saying in long answer to Marcia is that there are some things where you could say, ah, this is done for national mourning, parallel matches the thing in private mourning, but it doesn't always go down that way. Now, today's Rosh Chodesh. I mentioned, I think, on Monday that Sfardim don't really have restrictions until tomorrow. And they consider Rosh Chodesh to be Rosh Chodesh. I mean, we call it Rosh Chodesh also. And we wear the tie, which has a moon on it, on every Rosh Chodesh. But no meat and wine today. And Sfardim do. And they only stop tomorrow. And some don't stop until Sunday, Shavua Shechalbo. Okay, if you have any questions about specific things forbidden or permitted, for example, Susan asked before, I don't know how many people were already on, about fingernail polish. So what I did say is that fingernail cutting is allowed to be done up to Erev Shabbos Chazon, this Shabbat, only the week in which Tisha B'Av falls. You're not supposed to cut your nails. And women going to mikveh is an exception to that, and whatever. I want to generalize on what I said before about that guy who called me, and I told him he could listen to music because of his situation. One of the beautiful things in halacha is the recognition that among us are extremely fastidious, if that's the word, people. In Hebrew or in Gemara language, they're called istinis. And there are guidelines and rules that apply to an istinis that the regular average person is not supposed to do. A Mishnah. Rabban Gamliel Rabban Gamliel, the Nasi, the Rosh Yeshiva in his time, the Posek Hador. His students sort of embarrassedly asked him how come he bathed on the day that his wife died. And without shame and embarrassment, he said, Istinis Anochi. I am in that category. If I don't bathe every day or whatever, I feel like my skin is crawling and it's totally distracting. And that rule was not meant for him. So he can paskin and explain that on the day that a person is mourning a close relative, he shouldn't bathe normally. And for an istinus, there's a rule. There's an exception to the rule. The same thing goes with eating on Erev Pesach close to the Seder. And the same thing goes in many, many other categories of halacha that were not meant to torture somebody. They were meant to be a reminder and a flag, but not that much more. Now, anyone who is not sure how to handle that needs guidance of a rav. And sometimes a doctor. I'll give you an example because Tisha B'Av is coming up. How messed up does a person need to be before he has permission to eat on Tisha B'Av? I can't tell you. It's such a vague kind of thing and it's different from one person to another. There are people, look, everybody gets tired and thirsty and weaker on a fast day, especially in the summertime. And that's normal, and that person has to fast. But then you start going age and conditions and medications and feelings of dizziness and blurry vision by the afternoon. All of these you need to consult, and probably not just once. It needs to be, how do you feel this year? My daughter, I think 3 years ago, donated a kidney. And she had to drink a phenomenal amount of water every single day, much more than normal people. And she was told, no way, no how can she fast without drinking. She couldn't eat. And I mentioned this in the past, but emphasize it again. A person who has to drink but is told by his doctor you don't need to eat is not allowed to eat. It's not like, oh, I broke my fast anyway, so I can do whatever I want. You can't. Okay. And of course, Tisha B'Av is not the same as Yom Kippur, and Tisha B'Av is not the same as Shivasar B'Tammuz either. It's somewhere closer to Yom Kippur, but it's still Derabbanan. So all of these things have to be taken. I wanted to throw out a few different kind of things, and one of them is Shabbat Chazon. Now, sometimes Shabbat Chazon, which is the name of the Haftorah, the first word of the Haftorah that we read, it's always Parshat Devarim, so it's not even found in a Chumash under special Haftorot. It's right there after Devarim in the Chumash, and most of it is read to the tune, the melody of Eicha, rather than the regular Haftorah, except for the last couple of psukim. And it's a sad prophecy. So how do we approach Shabbat Chazon? Now we know already meat and wine is forbidden during the 9 days in the weekday, but you could eat meat and drink wine on Shabbat. Not only can you eat meat and drink wine on Shabbat, but even at Suda Shlishit, where you never have meat, most people have fleishik at Friday night and lunch, and by Shalosh Shudos, you're eating much lighter and not necessarily meat. And a person who wants to have meat at Suda Shlishit on Shabbat Chazon is allowed to have it. And the same thing with wine. If you take Shabbos early, can you make Kiddush on wine and eat meat at Seudat Shabbat when the sun is still shining from what other people are still in the weekdays of the 9 days? The answer is yes. Once you take Shabbat, Shabbat Chazon kicks in, and it's the guideline. Same thing for extending Seudah Shlishit, although there's a machloket. And when we get to Havdalah soon, I'll talk about that as well for this week's Havdalah of Shabbat Chazon. Now, I want to put it like this. Why can I wear freshly laundered clothes, not new clothes, but freshly laundered clothes on Shabbat Chazon, but not during the week of the 9 days? Why can I eat meat and drink wine on Shabbat Chazon, but not during the week of the 9 days? I mean, weekdays of the 9 days. One reason, which I think is the first reason that a person would think of, is no public display of mourning on Shabbat. However, there's another angle to it, which I think is a very nice angle. I hate to use that word, and I can't come up with a better one at the moment, for Shabbat Chazon. Shabbat Chazon is a pointer, a reminder, and a pointer to the future. We call Shabbat Me'ein Olam Haba. We could interpret that in this case of Shabbat Chazon, that it is Me'ein Yemot HaMashiach. So it isn't, and there are still restrictions on Shabbat, although they're very, on the one hand, on the other hand, I'll get to that also. But as a foretaste of the future, Dafka having meat and Dafka having wine is a reminder, as I said, and a pointer to the Tisha B'Av and the 9 days that precede it in the future when it will be a celebration. So that adds to me a dimension on the attitude for Shabbat. Now let's talk first Friday. Can I bathe, shower, shampoo my hair, stand under the hot water of the shower on Friday, this Friday, 2 days from now, in preparation for Shabbat? You have to know there are different opinions. There's one opinion that says the restriction on bathing, which includes comfortable, pleasurable, warm water, no, and washing your entire body is a no-no during the 9 days. Washing with cold water, what's officially called in the Sfarim, panim, yadav, viraglav, your face, your hands, and your feet, it really means, or it's applied in our time, to not washing your entire body at the same time. Now, this does not include sweat, and it doesn't include grime or dirt. That you're allowed to wash even on Tisha B'Av. The person got splashed by mud. Now you get splashed by mud in Israel on Tisha B'Av, but got splashed by mud, you're allowed to wash your face if that's where it splashed, or your arms or legs, whatever. So we're talking about I'm clean, sweat, I can shower for that. Routine, the routine of bathing is not proper during the 9 days. When it comes to Friday, some say ditto. Same goes as it did the day before, applies to Friday. Others say no, lichvod Shabbat, do not more, but do whatever you usually do on a Friday. If you take a shower on a Friday, you can't take two of them this Friday, but you can take a shower on Friday. If you use hot water, pleasurable hot water, the other opinion says you don't have to skimp on that, and that includes washing your entire body. And that, therefore, it leaves it up to us. You know, usually You ask a shayla, you get an answer, you're supposed to follow it. Here, don't ask a shayla. I'm telling you in advance, you look in any of the svarim about the 3 weeks and the 9 days and Erev Tisha B'Av and Shabbos Chazon, and they will tell you on the one hand, on the other hand. Once they say that, go with how you feel. And if it's summertime, which it is, and you live in Israel or in stupid Florida, where it's very hot and muggy, then, you have that. On the other hand, most of the authorities in Eretz Israel favor the second opinion of preparing for Shabbat as usual, and it's only in Chutz La'aretz that you have the strict opinion that you can't. So I leave it to you, Mark, to decide what to do. And T-neck, I don't know. Today with air conditioning, we really can't complain as much about the heat. You want to handle a hot summer day? Stay indoors and put on your air conditioner, whatever.
No.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm talking about washing clothes after the 9 days. I spoke to my brother-in-law is a posek in
Stop.
Lawrence.
You said that, or somebody else said it on Monday. So let me answer. And if I don't answer your question, then ask it, because everybody should hear this. Usually, restrictions of the 9 days continue till Chatzot, halachic noon of the 10th of Av. When the 10th of Av is Friday, as it is this year,
No.
then certainly from the morning, and some
No.
say if it's really pressing because you have a lot of laundry that's
Yeah.
backed up and you need it for Shabbos, you could even do it on Thursday night. It
Yeah.
would be better, I think, to wait until the morning, but you
Okay.
definitely don't have to wait for Chatzot. The only thing you have to wait for Chatzot for is wine and meat, because that's not a pressing need.
You answered
Okay.
exactly what my brother-in-law said. Okay.
Good. Always like to be on the good side of the brother. Yeah.
My husband actually asked our Rav because I have a nail appointment on Friday morning. I think he might have asked about washing. He said washing only things you need for Shabbat. Friday morning. I mean, maybe after it's hot, it's different, but Friday morning said only things you'll need for Shabbat. And my nail appointment was just if I consider it Lakovod Shabbos, which I suppose I do.
Okay.
And also, sorry, just one other thing. Speaking to my son about showering, and he said that we all consider ourselves these days to be Easternists, and therefore showering is something that's very important to us.
Okay.
Well, in England, it's really hot at the moment, and most people don't have air conditioning, so I'm sure that that would be a reason. No, Phil?
Yeah.
It's
Yeah.
really a hard summer there.
Look,
But
again, back to what I said at the beginning.
it's gross not to shower, so
I
I'm
know.
considered an
Okay, so let me take that a little
about
up,
taking
a
a bubble
little.
bath. I'm talking about just washing for hygiene.
I
Even
understand.
yeah.
I personally and also recommend to lower the temperature of the water, not freezing cold, just a little less than your ideal comfort. And that, I think, is an important gesture towards the concept of Avelut HaChorban. Look, Chazal could have gone in a different direction. You have to think about the Beit HaMikdash and what it means that it's destroyed, and read this and recite that. What does it have to do with the clothes that I wear? The answer is the clothes that I wear. The fact yesterday I did a laundry, and instead of folding my shirts and putting them in my drawer, they are all in a box, in a jumble. I wore a pair of tzitzis that I washed yesterday. And by the way, just to use to make an advertisement, anyone who ever washes tzitzis for themselves or their husbands or children, this thing is really good. This is made for tzitzis. You have your beged, you have your strings, you bring them here and you tie them, you wind them around this groove, then put this back and then throw it into the washing machine. It makes noise because it hits the walls, but it doesn't tangle the strings and doesn't shrivel them or whatever. They stay intact in there, and it works.
Where did you buy it?
I think I got this in Petil Tchelet. That's what do you call it? A chain of stores that sell talis and tefillin and tzitzis and Kiddush cups and everything else. And that's where I found it. But
You get one for me
it's
as well,
called
please, on that.
Magen
My goodness, it's
Susan Nuret, whoever goes, can you get one for me too, please?
Tzitzit. Benina.
Seriously.
No.
Well, actually, for the next 3 hours only, if you order,
On your share.
we'll include this out-of-date CD that's scratchy and doesn't play well, free of charge. Okay. Now, company for Shabbos. This might be too late because people either did or didn't invite people already. But that's an interesting topic also. A family, a couple, an individual who regularly has company throughout the year on Shabbat is allowed to invite company for Shabbat chazon. If a family only once in a while, practically not much or whatever, then they shouldn't. And the difference between the two, and that's a judgment call, is whether it will spoil Oneg Shabbat or be noticeable. Oh, you know, this is weird. You always have company. How come you don't have nobody, this Shabbos? That's wrong. So you go by that guideline. Zmirot. If every Friday night and Shabbos day you go cover to cover in your bencher and you're singing for an hour, you do that on Shabbat Chazon. If you sing one or two Zmirot at a meal, do that on Shabbat Chazon, but not more. It is, but it isn't. It's a very schizophrenic kind of identity for Shabbat, especially, which is not this year, when we fast starting Motzoi Shabbos on Sunday, which can happen in two different ways, and it's the most common arrangement for Tisha B'Av, because it happens when the ninth of Av is Shabbos postponed to Sunday, and it happens when it falls on Sunday. So that comes out to like 40% of the time. But this year, not so much. Havdalah. The question is Havdalah considered still part of Shabbos when you're allowed to use wine? Or is it a weekday action, in which case wine is not allowed during the 9 days that are during the week? I don't think you'll be surprised for me to tell you that there is a dispute on this and a debate. There are some that say no wine for Havdalah, go with what's called Chamar Medina, which is an important beverage in society. You sit down with people, it's really difficult to define, but the most popular beverage for Havdalah for this school of thought is beer. It's not wine, but it is Havdalah drink. And others say, no, wine is the beverage for Havdalah. True, you're allowed to substitute other beverages, but that's only if you don't like wine, if you don't have any wine, or whatever. But it should be wine. Now, then it goes like this. If you have a child who is old enough to understand making a bracha, he already learned that a bracha is thank you to Hashem, and he knows some different brachot. That's good. But he's not yet old enough to appreciate avelut ha-churban. Doesn't understand what that means. Then the person making kiddush, making havdalah, should give this kid wine to drink. If he's younger than that, then he doesn't really understand the bracha, doesn't help. And if he's already old enough to understand avelut ha-churban, then the person is supposed to drink it himself. And if there's no kid, according to the Shita, and it's a very strong Shita of the Chazon Ish, you make Havdalah on wine. Some suggest, don't drink the entire cup. You drink just a Rove Kos, and that's it. And you spill out the rest. So again, how do you feel about it? What does it mean to you? Does it affect your attitude, your feeling? Let me put it like this. The worst thing that can happen to any of us is that we forget that we're in the middle of the 9 days. And that could happen. You could be so involved in something else. Someone sends you a clip from YouTube, and or family thing, and then for a period of time you forget. So that's not good, that's not healthy. Avelut HaChurban is important, especially because there are people, Jews and non-Jews, who say, well, what do you, almost 2,000 years and you're still crying and you're still mourning? Enough already. There's a story. I don't remember all the details, but some. Oh yeah. Oh, it's related to the Holocaust. A Jew in a committee for something, a government thing, someplace. I think it was in England. Made a comment about the Holocaust, and this Christian woman said, "Enough already! It's already 70 years now. It's 80. How long are you gonna, remember? Move on." So he looked at her and said, "You're a Christian? You believe in Jesus? Move on. Forget him." She was quiet. Okay. Comments, questions? Let me see if I missed anything. Let me go back to what Judy said about showering. Clearly, bathing for pleasure is not permitted, and practical bathing is. So there are people who take baths, so they should take a shower. There are people who take showers, and as I recommended, a little bit cooler water than you would ideally use. Shampoo of your hair. In Israel, that's the more common thing. You don't have to withhold that. You certainly don't have to withhold deodorant or things like that. Even on Tisha B'Av, interesting, you are not supposed to use a deodorant with a scent, but you can use a scent-free, or whatever they call it, non-fragrant deodorant, because that's meant to prevent an offensive smell. It's not meant to perfume yourself. So there are these, all of these kind of things.
What about makeup?
When?
I usually wear makeup, but I decided today I won't put it on because of the 9 days. But is there a source for that?
I don't think so. I don't think there's a restriction on that. It's a good question, because it's not something that's on my mind. Let me see if Rabbi Shimon Eider has anything in here.
Sorry, that just pertains to the lady.
I wish you hadn't asked
Iron.
that, Judy.
Don't have to listen, Susan.
I'm closing my ears.
Look, I'll tell you, let's use this as an example. Shaving during the 3 weeks includes women and body hair, but a wife and an eligible girl who would like to be a wife or person is allowed to. That they should not look less attractive because of hairy legs or whatever. Again, it points, I mean, the beauty of halacha is that it's not, it's a way of life. And as a way of life, there are a lot of things that come in there, which in the more, this is a religion and it's a religion and it's a religion and it's ceremonial. So you have to, you don't have that much flexibility in some things and total hefkeirut in something else. Christianity is like that. There are so few isurim. I mean, you have, they're not allowed to kill and steal and stuff like that. But I'm talking about, they are guided by the new covenant, the New Testament, which means doesn't matter what goes into your mouth anymore, it's what comes out of your mouth. I always had a hard time with that. I don't have a hard time with Muslims who have laws of kashrut. They call it halal, and they're not exactly the same. Milk and meat, for example, is not in Islam at all as an isur, but treif and non-kosher animals is. In Christians who consider the Old Testament to be holy, you open up a chumash and you show them that you're not allowed to eat pork while they are eating pork. And they said, nope, that was changed. It doesn't matter what goes into your mouth, it's what comes out of your mouth. Now, that's what was said in a Christian context. In the Jewish context, it is also said, but differently. It is said, what comes out of your mouth is just as important as what goes into your mouth, meaning you can't eat treif, you can't speak lashon hara, that kind of thing. But not that it's, all the laws of what you're allowed to eat are, passé and you could do whatever you want. And Muslims circumcise and Christians don't. I mean, there's a lot of things like that.
I'm sorry to keep interrupting, but it just occurs to me we are anyway during the year supposed to have some mourning of the Beis HaMikdash per se, obviously with a wedding and whatever. But I remember hearing a shiur that you shouldn't wear all your jewellery at once and things like that, and keeping
Okay.
part of it. But I mean,
Okay.
per se, we're supposed to always have the Beis HaMikdash in mind.
Correct. My favorite sefer on this topic is called Avelut HaChurban by Rav Yoel Schwartz, Zichrono Livracha. And a lot of good footnotes if you want to look beyond his words. And close to half the book is about Avelut HaChurban, not related to the 3 weeks or the fast days or Tisha B'Av. So it's a good point that you make, Judy, but let me do a different perspective. Not allowed to eat meat during the 9 days. What about this year? It's very short. So let's say Tisha B'Av was Sunday. And Monday, Tisha B'Av is Sunday, and let's say that was actually the ninth of Av, so the rule goes until noon of Monday. Can I eat meat Monday night? Halachically, yes. There are those who are machmir not to eat meat until Shabbat Nachamu. And that is brought down as a nice minhag. I don't do that, but it's a nice minhag. Then there are those, back to Judy's point, who say if the reason we don't eat meat and drink wine during the 9 days. There's two reasons, by the way. One is simcha, mishanichnas of mima'atim b'simcha, and ein simcha ella b'basar v'yayin. So if wine and meat for normal people is a joyous things to eat and drink, it's not appropriate for the 9 days. The other reason is korbanot. Korbanot was meat accompanied by wine on the Mizbeach, and therefore those two combine to the minhag of not eating meat and drinking wine during the 9 days. And by the way, you should know, halacha is only the meal before Tisha B'Av is forbidden for meat and wine. Halacha allows you to eat meat even on Erev Tisha B'Av. Until that final meal, that's you're not allowed to eat meat. The minhag, which is widespread and therefore binding, is no meat during the whole 9 days. But you should know that it originally was only the meal before Tisha B'Av. Now, I say that to keep things in perspective, because now we went from the 9 days to Shabbat Nachamu, and that was accepted as, okay, you want to do that? Go ahead. How about no meat during the week, the whole 3 weeks? I never met anybody like that, but supposedly there are people like that. Is that acceptable? Yes. What about someone who says meat and wine associated with the Simcha, associated with the Beit HaMikdash, I am not going to eat meat or drink wine the entire year, throughout? We say to that person, that is mistaken. It blows Avelut HaKurban so far out of the guidelines of Chazal that it's negative. The argument that was given to people who did that was, well, wait a minute. You know that accompanying korbanot is also flour and oil mixtures that are baked. That's matzah and bread. Maybe you shouldn't have that. Well, good point. I won't. And get bikurim, fruit brought to the Beit HaMikdash, and we don't have that. How could you eat fruit? Okay. Until the guy argued and said, oh, you know what else? Water is used on the Mizbeach for the 7 days of Sukkot. We don't have that today. Maybe you shouldn't have any water. They finally got the message. You can't overdo it. Now, what Judy mentioned of not wearing all of your jewelry, I never met a woman or knew a woman who is capable of wearing all of her jewelry at the same time. Because it's a lot and because it clashes one with the other. And how do you wear more than a pair of earrings if you only have two ears or two pierces? If you have five pierces in an ear, so you go up to 10. And if you have 15, how do you wear them? Luckily, one of my daughters decided to get extra pierces. So whenever Debbie loses one of her earrings, she gets the other one.
Can I say something?
Of course.
Hold you said the halacha is only at the meal Erev Tisha B'Av. Are you not supposed to have meat and wine, presumably? And then that brings it much closer to the avelos of a person as well, because we only have it in the Seudas Mafsek, in the Seudas Havra.
Right. We'll talk about Seudat HaMafseket next week in Yirtzeh Hashem, because there's a once upon a time and now it's a different kind of story, but that's also interesting. Anyone else?
Can I ask a question?
No. Yes, you can.
You mentioned that that Muslim men are circumcised. They're circumcised as same kind of circumcision as an infant, as Jews.
They're circumcised. I don't know the details, but they do it at age 13, or they're supposed to do it at age 13, because
That's
that's what Yishmael,
in
they consider themselves descendants of Yishmael, and he was circumcised at age 13.
So let's say a guy was circumcised, a Muslim guy,
Yeah.
and then he converts to Judaism.
Okay, so he needs, like everyone else, hatafat dam brit. Anyone who is circumcised, not l'shem mitzvah, meaning our mitzvah,
Our mitzvah, yeah.
it requires a token letting of a drop of blood from the place of Mila. That's standard for all gerim.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, I think we could call it a day. I wish you a Chodesh Tov. And oh, let me just briefly say that. The minhag, there are different minhagim, of course, but the minhag that I think is most common is to identify the month as of for the first 10 days. So today is Rosh Chodesh Av, even though on Shabbat we said Rosh Chodesh Menachem Av Yehiyah. But that's for Rosh Chodesh benching and the bracha that the month is getting. And but tomorrow is the second of, and Friday is the third, and Shabbos is the fourth. Once you get after the 10th, it's already Yud Aleph Menachem Av. And that's to allow Nechama to come in. And that's why some of the restrictions of Tisha B'Av, we'll detail them next week, are lifted already in the afternoon. Not many of them, but some of the practices of Tisha B'Av go easy in the afternoon so that you can already begin to feel the nechama which follows. We'll talk about that also.
And by the way, today Rosh Chodesh Elul, I'm sorry, Rosh Chodesh Av is Aaron HaKohen's
Yes, I think I mentioned that. Not today,
yahrzeit.
but I've mentioned it.
Yeah. Okay.
And there was a special Birchat
Daddy,
Kohanim
he's not finished with it. We
someplace
want to light the
today
floor.
because
And
of
don't worry.
Aaron's yahrzeit.
Yeah.
Thank you. Shabbat shalom.
Bat shalom.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much. Anything, is anything you can do today because it's Rosh Chodesh that you won't be able to tomorrow? Any sort of Rosh Chodesh type of festivity?
Ashkenazi.
That's what I'm asking as an Ashkenazi.
Sfardim do, but Ashkenazim don't. Oh, the one thing you could do today that you can't do tomorrow is say Alav Yovo when you daven or bench.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank
That
you
was what my husband said when he heard Judy's question.
So much.
Shalom, everybody.
Shalom.
Bye, Donna. Bye, Donna. Hey guys, want to bench Mizuma? No, he left already. If you're talking, Mark, I can't hear you. You're frozen on my screen.